fuck Maelstrom Games. Am I right, Nathan?
Yeah, I guess I've never dealt with them, but I hear bad things.
There is nothing but bad things. You are listening to Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. And I'm drinking an enormous bottle of sake right now. What are you drinking?
50-50 Grey Goose and 7-Up.
That's good times. That is a country stand drink right there. anyways, as you may have realized at the beginning of this podcast, we are not happy, or at least I'm definitely not happy, with Maelstrom Games. Our plan for this podcast, since Nathan was in the town of E-Town and we were going to have a new game and try out a whole new gaming system and talk about a new game and talk about the glories of playing a new game and picking it up and being excited for it, and we had ordered our models and we got our fleets in, we were going to play Firestorm Armada tonight and talk about Firestorm Armada and kind of give you guys some our first impressions of the game and things of that nature. But guess what? That's not going to happen today because Maelstrom fucking Games doesn't know how to ship product properly.
No. It's just English is a second language for that London-based company. That is the clearest thing. Because when you see a rule book that says, you know, two Firestorm Armadas, do you read straight into that Uncharted Seas box and just grab a couple of them? Or do you look and see the Firestorm is empty and just go, eh, fuck it, they'll never know the difference.
Listen, I get it. I get the fact that they're made by the same company. But Jesus, I mean, you're packing two rule books for Uncharted Seas into a order for Firestorm Armada that includes two starter sets. Like, what? You think we're ordering Firestorm Armada and Uncharted Seas so that we can, like, proxy armies? Fuck is wrong with you people? But anyways, what ended up happening is we ordered the models. We got them in short order. I mean, hell, it got to our house in like 2, maybe 3 days. I mean, it was really quick how fast it got out. We open up the box and we got the wrong rule book. So I instantly email them back. It takes them almost 4 days to reply to me. And all I get as a reply is, yeah, sorry, we'll send those out as soon as possible. If you could please pay for shipping to send the wrong rule books back to us, we would appreciate it. Oh, and we'll reimburse you. So my first reply is, fuck that, fuck you. I'm not sending you shit back until you send me the proper product. So a week goes by and I haven't gotten an email saying that this shit has been dispatched yet. So I email them again and I get a quick reply this time, very, very quick. And they're just like, don't worry, it's on its way out. We know we're just a little bit behind. Don't worry about it. And I mean, I'm not going to give them shit before I get my product and be like, fuck you, this is bad service, whatever. I mean, it really is just...
Because then they'll just spit in it.
Then they'll just spit in it, or we'll just never get it, or whatever, right? So, you know, don't rock the boat until you're off of it. That's what I always like to say.
That's what she said.
More like that also works as well. I made that up. I don't always say that. It doesn't always get said. But anyways, so they're just like, yeah, it's going out, it's going out. So two more days go by, and it's fucking Wednesday before the podcast, and I email them again. Listen, when's this shit coming out? They're like, it's out the door today. It's out the door today. So today, Friday, I get another email saying, like, we're pleased to report that your shipment has gone out for two Firestorm Armada rulebooks. We're just like, yeah, we're probably not going to get them by tonight. So, sorry to everybody who was expecting the Firestorm Armada podcast. We're just going to do a little bit of random shooting the shit. But
for the record, we have both been drinking for a couple hours now. So if it is exceptionally random and we're both in kind of like bitchy moods, it's been an interesting night.
It's been a really interesting night. But no, you know, going into this a little bit more, I mean, I'm sure there are people out there who are going to say, well, I've ordered from Firestorm Armada before. Maelstrom. And it was always Maelstrom.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's right.
Maelstrom, I've ordered Maelstrom from Firestorm Armada. It takes forever to get through the wormhole, but by the time it gets there, it's fantastic.
It's great. But no, I'm sure there are people out there who have said, you know, well, I've ordered from Maelstrom Games before and it was just fine. But, you know, the test of a company is not, do they send you the shit on time and are they doing the job you're paying them to do? Or are you getting the product you're paying them to do? The true test of a company is what happens when they fuck up. What happens? Well, guess what? If you order something from Maelstrom Games and they fuck up your order, get ready to wait and get ready to have to jump through about 100 hoops to get what you need done, which I think starts almost a new segment for us, which is anti-sponsors.
Yes. a quick note on anti-sponsors. Like matter and antimatter, they are destroyed when they come into contact with the regular version. So an anti-sponsor, you know, can't come into contact with a sponsor, and I doubt we'll ever get any crossover between the two.
Oh, I'm sure they're not going to.
They're not.
I honestly think they listen to this podcast? No,
not at all. So basically, anti-sponsors are going to be places where we have paid money in an attempt to exchange goods and/or services. And it's just been fucked up horribly. So our first anti-sponsor is definitely Maelstrom.
This is an utter just mess having to deal with these idiots. And I mean, like, I don't even get, you know, like a flowery worded reply. Like, I got four words as a reply at one time when, like, it was like, it's going out, Dan. And I'm like, it's been 2 weeks, man. Like, come on. And I get if you're backed up, but if you're backed up, don't you take care of the people who you already fucked up once for? You know, like, and literally, I mean, with, we were talking to people who were going to get into the game, and we were telling them to go to this site. Now they're not going to that site anymore. I mean, they missed out on probably 300-400 pounds worth of product being sold to just the group of people who are going to get into this game with us. And I'm not going to be the guy who goes on and calls them up and just be like, I have a fucking podcast in Country's Den and I'm going to rail on your game. Fuck that. I mean, whatever. They could care less, right? But it just comes down to the fact that fuck Maelstrom Games. That's it. Do not order anything from them, because you're rolling the dice, and if you're lucky you get your product, and if you don't, you're going to be waiting and hoping and crossing your fingers, because it was a clusterfuck at the absolute worst.
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, God forbid we'd actually ordered something from them for the tournament coming up next week.
Shit.
Because if we had, like, there's no fucking way you would have gotten it in time.
Right.
In order to build it and paint it and get it up into your army.
Right.
And
well,
I mean, like, really, we put this order in around the new year.
Like, oh, yeah. Like right after New
January,
Year, yes.
Like January 3rd.
That was when I brought up the idea of us doing, like, let's try out this new game, because... I mean, I won't get too much into it, because we can just push the podcast back, and we will eventually do a podcast about Firestorm Armada. One of the things that when Nathan and I had originally kind of come up with the idea for this podcast is it is a wargaming podcast. It's not necessarily Games Workshop. Now, don't get us wrong. We are heavily entrenched in Games Workshop games. We love our Warhammer. We love our Warhammer 40,000. I've tried
Lord
to play
of the
other
Rings,
games. I've tried to play other games. There's a lot of other games that just don't appeal to us. Like, you and I have no urge whatsoever to play fucking War Machine. I think the models look stupid.
Yeah.
I don't like the way that I don't like that, like, super over stylized oblong
cock.
Yeah, sure. I guess cock works as well. It's just when I say the word oblong, you think automatically of the word cock.
Well, it's like that word association play.
Really?
Psychiatrists do.
Awesome.
You know?
I'm gonna do that at, like, a really classy dinner next time. I'll just be like, whoa, I'll just throw the word out there and you'll just be like, hack. Sorry, mom. So anyways, we apologize again for everyone who was expecting that for this week's podcast. Don't blame us. Fuck Maelstrom Games. Getting into the higher learning segment for this week, we are now on to, what do we do?
Empire.
It's Empire now, hey?
Yeah.
Empire. I'm probably going to do Empire next for fantasy. I've always really kind of loved Empire. You know, they're the vanilla, and there's nothing wrong with vanilla. You know what I mean? Like, I think everybody looks at Empire at one given point, and if it isn't your first army, there is a specific draw to doing, you know, an Empire army and doing it up to match a country, and doing it up in these various cool ways and with these kind of cool heroes. And the models are fun to paint. And steam tank. I mean, who doesn't want a steam tank?
People who like to have fun.
Ah, fuck that, dude. Steam tanks are a lot more vulnerable in this edition than they were in last. All you had to do is put two wounds on it, and the thing can't generate steam points anymore, for fuck's sake.
Or you'll be like, I'll generate one.
I always like just putting my ethereal creatures into it, and then just letting it, like, sit there against, like, two wraiths the entire game.
I play Wood Elves. I just, because it treats everything as impassable terrain, I just tree sing a forest right in front of it and be like, I don't have to deal with you.
Awesome.
I love Empire. In fact, a lot of the Empire stuff you're getting was originally my Empire stuff.
Yes, yes. We traded a bunch of High Elf stuff for your Empire stuff, so that's the starts of my army. But
yeah.
you and I always had a very similar view of what makes a good Empire army.
Big blocks of state troops, good sizes of detachments, good use of detachments.
Good use of detachments.
And then, you know, like, so what I love about Empire most is that they really take the jack of all trades, master of none approach. You know, a friend of ours, Kyle, who plays Empire, and he was on episode 2, he has always said that the joy of an Empire army is the fact that you can...
I'm just going to move the mic up here.
Toast. when you play an Empire army, you are able to take part in every single phase of the game. You've got important movements. You've got some fast movement units with pistoliers, things like that, and knights. You're part in magic because you can pick any of the lores. And in this edition, that's a huge deal.
Yes.
You know, you've got a good shooting phase with some of the best artillery pieces in the game, and then handgunners and pistoliers and outriders. So, I mean, it's one of those armies that allows you to play in every phase. So when you run up against other armies that can't, it gives you edges, you know, it lets you edge them out in certain places.
Right.
And that's one of the appeals. That and I'm always going to come back to how they look painted. I think a fully ranked up, beautifully, you know, quartered, uniformed Empire army is an awe-inspiring sight. Like, you know, when I play, you know, when I set up across the board from one of those, I literally have to take a moment and just admire the army that I'm playing, because it's gorgeous.
Right. And I mean, it's not a brilliant army, and the models aren't, you know, phenomenal. It's just, it's a very clean looking, very, you know, symmetric looking, very cool looking army. And it's the type of army that fits very well with the genre. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people who will look at High Elves, or they'll look at Chaos, and they'll kind of that over fantasy style of like, I've got massive spikes coming off everywhere, and no, look how big my hat is. My hat is half as high as I am, you know? Like, it's just, I get that some people just aren't into that, and I think that that works.
The High Elves wanted to ride the really scary rides at the amusement park, and so they needed the hats to make that line.
That's very true, I guess.
I've been drinking. Shut up. They're not all good.
No, but you're 25%. You throw in some good ones there. But no, I think that, you know, like, they're very clean. They're very uniform. They look very good. They fit the genre really well. And I don't think anyone's going to look at an Empire army and say that model's stupid, because there's just very, very few times that that happens. But at the same time, the Empire does fall into this realm of armies that don't really ever change that much. They kind of change more with the addition than they do with new army books. You see a couple new models here and there. You see some tweaks to the rules, but if you pick up Empire, you can literally play the same Empire army through every edition, last four editions of the game, as Kyle proves with his Empire army. But, you know, I mean, anybody who plays Empire, they know you don't have to change much between editions other than unit sizes and maybe some of the characters that you take or some of the lores that you take. And I mean, like, that's good. That's what I like about it, because, you know, you can have fun with it. They are exceptionally competitive in this edition. I mean, not only the fact that they have good artillery, but they have a wide range of artillery, a huge variety to choose from. So it makes it very hard for people to go up against an Empire army and kind of know what to expect with regards to artillery. Like, if you go up against a Dwarf army, you know it's cannons and bolt throwers. Maybe a grudge thrower here and there in the new edition. But
and organ guns.
I don't see people take organ guns all that often, though.
Really? I've never seen a Dwarf army not take an organ gun.
I don't know. Like, I'd rather have the cannons. The
no,
cannons.
No, that's fair. But no, like, the
way the engineers work, why wouldn't you take a cannon? I mean, it's cheaper, and it's more dependable for the points, and it's going to kill monsters and infantry. Yeah.
No, but I mean, I agree. And I think Empire got a huge boost this edition, because, I mean, you know, their shooting has always been average to above average, and a lot of their strength lies in the variety of artillery, and Hellstrom rocket batteries are the tip.
Yes, that's pretty like, fun.
They are fantastic, especially now in this edition, the way artillery works. But that, and I mean, how can you say no to a 5-point halberdier ranked up in Horde formation?
Yeah, like, Horde, good God. The Horde rules and Steadfast rules really made a huge difference. Also, you know, we had talked about this before, a BSB being really important for any army that has low leadership typically, but there's so many ways around low leadership from now on that, you know, it's really easy to kind of do what you need to do with an Empire army without running into, you know, this, you know, knights breaking through these huge units that you put together, whereas before that army was really dependent on multiple small units. And I mean, like, that whole idea of multiple small units really made a huge difference because, in essence, it is a Horde army. You know, it's a Horde army. The heroes really aren't that great. You know, like, there's a lot of speculation and kind of tactics out there regarding, you know, how effective it would be to really just spam the Empire heroes, the Empire captains, and just go crazy because they have such good magic items, and the comic common magic items are so good for them the way that the game works right now. Like, they complement the magic items that they have in their army book right now.
You know, it's funny that you should say that, because that was one of the very first thoughts that I had with Empire, because right when 8th edition turned, I was still looking at doing them, but you know, because I've noticed my elf armies run far less heroes than they used to. I just find they right. really don't need to, because before you used to have your obligatory level, you know, 2 level 2 wizards just for magic defense. And yep. now with the changes to magic, you don't need them. So, I mean, all of my elf armies run far less heroes. But I was thinking that, and I was just like, you know what? You put a 55-point captain in, you can give him some top-notch magic items, put yeah. one in every single unit, well, and that's a +1 leadership.
You can also give him full plate, for crying out loud. I mean, he already comes in with a good save. Well, yeah. Full plate and a shield. Go
Dude,
crazy.
Yeah, full plate shield mounted is a 1+, and you can put mounted characters in infantry units.
Yeah.
So, I mean, oh, look, I'm 1+ mundane, so now I'm going to take, you know, a ogre blade or something yeah. like that. Now I'm stupid strong.
Yeah.
You know, so I always thought that would be a really good use for Empire, because it gives them that extra point of leadership. You keep them in range of the battle standard bear. That, or I actually thought a general on the Griffin for the 18-inch range inspiring presence would actually be really smart this edition.
Well, I think that kind of goes back to this idea of having all of these different characters makes, you know, putting your general on a Griffin and having him be, you know, a little bit more exposed really not that big a deal anymore. Before, it was the crux of your army had to be your general, and your general had to be bunkered, and he had to have the Griffin standard, and he had to be in the biggest unit, and he had to have detachments up his ass, and it was just like, you know, in this edition, the Empire Lord on a Griffin works really well, or even on a Pegasus, who cares, right? Like, that's why I want to take Balthazar Gelt in my list, mm-hmm. because heck, put him on a Pegasus, go crazy. I mean, I take my Vampire Lord, and you've played against my vampires, and I just leave him out of units. Let him fly around with his freaking flying ability. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, he's untouchable. There's very few things that are going to take him down really, really easily, right? So, I like Empire, and because of the range of artillery and the low cost of artillery and the fact that Steadfast and Horde make your armies very hard to break, and that makes detachments that much better when they have a strong unit mm-hmm. that they're attached to, it's really good. I think what they really start to fall behind in is, as most people would say, the changes to cavalry and kind of the difference between, like, maybe the points effectiveness for greatswords.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing is, before, I would say 10 points for a greatsword was a great bargain in 7th yeah. edition, but now, like I said, the 5-point halberdier in Horde formation will be better in almost yeah. every situation. I mean, hell, I'd almost be tempted to say if you're going to spend 10 points per model on a unit, take flagellants because they're unbreakable. You can put them in Horde and now you've got all 30 get to attack. But even then, I think I would much rather have more state troops, to be perfectly honest, because yeah. what I love most is in 7th edition, Empire was the army of hope he didn't kill more than you had static combat res.
Yes.
It'd be like, I go into a fight, I have 8 points of static combat res, I'm not going to kill a fucking thing, and I know it. So hopefully you kill 7 or less, because
mm-hmm.
that lets me win the combat. Now in this edition, when you can hoard up a unit of like 50 or 60 halberdiers, you're going to kill a lot of shit. You're throwing out tons of strength for attacks. You've got a character, you're going to be steadfast. So it's just like, you know, Empire can finally dish out damage. So, I mean, personally, I think they are one of the best armies that you can take in 8th edition now. And I mean, I don't believe in tiers. I think any army can be competitive, but I do think that Empire, it's a lot easier for them.
I wouldn't even so much say that it's easier. I just think that the path is clearer.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that, you know, the way that the army is built, it does point you in the right direction. I mean, I've seen some really backwards Empire armies that you know that you would just walk over. But, you know, if you're smart, you know your rules, you're a veteran gamer, they're a strong, strong army, and you're typically going to do pretty well with them. I think that Empire's biggest drawback is, like you say, when you look at the state troops and you look at the points and you look at everything that you kind of get with them, they are so middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Magic hits them harder than most armies. You know, when you're getting pounded by, you know, lore of fire spells, or you're going to get put up against, you know, stuff that is just going to start chopping numbers down. I mean, like my salamanders, I'll put 3 flame templates in you and that half that unit's gone.
if you go first, otherwise you're going to eat artillery and you're going to lose your unit. No, I don't know. I disagree because Empire Warrior Priests are one of those exception break the game units right now because they still add plus one dispel dice. So, I mean, I get a huge number of dispel with the Winds of Magic, and then each Warrior Priest or Archlector adds one or two dispel dice. So, I mean, like a dwarf army spamming runesmiths and rune lords, well, rune something or others. You're able to just
spellbreaker runes or spell eater runes.
Well, no, just
that
character where it's just like if you take the hero level character, I get plus one to spell dice on top of the winds, and then if I take a lord level, I get plus two. And even then, they have the rod of power in their arcane items. So if you have leftover casting dice because you just there's nothing worth casting, you can pool, you know, you can steal them and bring them out in your dispel phase. So I mean, I could easily bring 12 dispel dice to every magic phase. Right. And I just shut down magic phase. I don't care if you're a slan. I'm going to shut down every spell you try to throw. And Empire can do that.
Right.
I do agree with you that templates kind of rape them now, because if you're running those giant blocks of state troops, stone throwers, salamanders, really anything that's going to throw templates is going to hit them really hard, and they're still going to struggle versus monsters. You know, mm-hmm. you put a dragon in there, sure, they're steadfast, but that dragon's just going to be killing them left and center, and they have nothing in a unit of state troops that can hurt it.
Right. But that's what I'm talking about, is I think that they because they are so middle of the road, that they do take the hits on extremes. And, yes. You know, veteran gamers know when they're playing an Empire army, get those monsters in against the big units. Like, really push them down, you know, like, really make them pay for every last inch, or just, you know, tar pit them in the middle of the board and you know, love life the whole way through. But, you know, in that same respect, yes, if you're going to play the shutdown of magic phase, you also know that you're really not going to be dishing out the combat that other armies are going to have at the same time. Yes. And I think that Empire need the combat. Don't get me wrong. I think Empire can still fight. But when you're getting put up against a Vampire Lord or a Chaos Lord or a Demon Prince or, you know, a Tree Man or something like that, where they're hitting you exceptionally hard and they're at a toughness level that makes you virtually worthless.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're shutting down my magic phase, but you're getting chewed to bits in every yep. single turn. So, you know, I think that there is that balance that you have to hit. And I think that, they've got some really cool special characters that make it really fun. And I think that,
Kurt Hellborg for the win, by the way.
Kurt Hellborg is really good. I think Kurt Hellborg and Balthazar Gelder are the two that stand out as being the by far the best. I mean, Loremaster Metal with plus six to cast. That's the only reason why I'm going to take Greatswords in my army, is because I want to be able to pull out Lore of Metal, give him the glittering cloak, and have my freaking swordsman walking around with a 2+ save every turn.
Yeah.
You know? Because again, that'll work out. Most of the time, they're just going to let that go. And the biggest problem with Greatswords is the fact that they tend to get shot down. You know? Mm-hmm. They're going to get hit with something that's strength 4, and all of a sudden, that 4+ save being a 5+, you start losing those troops pretty fast. It starts to hurt.
But when it's but 2+.
When you got a 2+ walking up the table, you're in pretty good shape. So, yeah, I think Empire, I'm looking forward to doing that Empire. I'm going to get my Space Marines done before I start them. I think my Space Marines is going to be my next project. But definitely after I finish my Space Marines, I'm going to get back to Warhammer and start working on my fifth Warhammer army.
See, it's funny because Lang keeps adding armies and I keep repainting
them. You just repaint the same army over and over again. You tried to start your High Elves and you just never got them going.
No, and to be quite honest, I actually gave most of them away to my sister who wanted to get into the game with High Elves. So I was just like, oh, hey, it's your birthday and you want to get into Warhammer with High Elves. Happy birthday. Because I'm too busy repainting my Wood Elves. It'll be 2 years before I get to High Elves.
Yeah, see, like I have a very different mentality in the sense that, you know, I look at the next army. I want to paint the next army. And I mean, this isn't every new army that comes out I want to grab it. This is, you know, years down the road, I start looking at new armies. And then I come back and I start repainting new stuff for new armies. I mean, every year I usually add one new unit to each army that I have and just kind of, you know, have fun with it. Mm-hmm. And it makes it really fun. I usually have people come into my house and I'm just like, pick one. You know, I roll the dice and I'll play that random army. You know what I mean? Like, that's fun to me. I like being able to do that. And then I sell them and I get store credit and I start a new army.
Yay! No, you know, but that's just the difference. Is I know a lot of people like you where it's just like, no, you know what? I finished this army. It's up to the tournament level. I might tweak a unit here or there, but I want to get onto the new army. But for me, you know, I really need to fall in love with an army. I really need to want to paint it. Otherwise, I'll get like two or three models in and then I'm bored.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that's why for me, you know, it's just like, oh, you know what? I was really having fun with the high elves, painting them up. But then with the edition change, I wanted to go back to my wood elves. And then I looked at them and I was like, you know what? I can paint better than this. This is a 6-year-old army.
Mm-hmm.
I am a much better painter, and I wanna, and I love the models. I can still look at the Wood Elf models, and half the range I'm still absolutely in love with. I think they are still great looking, despite their age.
Oh, I think they're a nice looking army.
You know,
yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I love painting the plastic. So for me, I'm just like, oh, you know what? I'm going to paint it. And like I said, I'm having a blast actually getting ready for the tournament here next week, just painting well.
And there is that draw to playing the underdogs. You know, I don't mean,
you know,
that, I don't mean that insultingly. I just mean the fact that, like, yeah, you get a lot of people and you tell them you play wood elves. I had somebody making fun of me this week because they were like, you lost a wood elf like twice? And I'm just like, it was not my fault. This was not my fault, you know. But again, it's that mentality of just like, ah, but you know what? Playing the underdog means every win is that much sweeter. And people seem to respond very well to that, you know?
It kind of feels, though, that, like, I feel like an underdog snob, though, because, and this, no word of a lie, I have played Dark Eldar. I have played Dark Eldar since 2002, and since the new Codex has come out, I've played zero games. Zero, because I'm just like, ah, you know what, fuck it. People keep talking shit about how Tyranids are crap, so I'm going to keep playing my Tyranids and wrecking people's days with my Tyranids.
Well, you'll get to it, and I think that that's the thing, is, like, you'll get to it. I think you'll get to your High Elves. I think that you'll get to.
I absolutely will.
I think you'll get to your Dark Eldar, but I think that that's just the kind of gamer that you are now. It's kind of like me. I've had my Lizardmen for over a year, and I just paint a little bit here and there, and then all of a sudden I decide I want to paint them up for a tournament, and bam, I finish them in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
you know, I got 2 units left.
Yeah, no, I was looking at that. I was actually quite surprised because there's a lot more painted now than last time.
A lot more since the last time we were here.
Yeah. But no, you know, and it's funny too because I was looking at that and I was just like, maybe I should do a Chaos Dwarf army. I could do awesome conversions. I'm like, but that's just
talking about doing a Chaos Dwarf army for like two, three, four years.
Only because
now?
I'm that underdog snob. But I'm just, you know, because like I said, when I redid my my Dark Eldar, my latest iteration before the new models came out. Every last model was a conversion. I kit-bashed the shit out of everything. They were unique looking.
Yes.
They were the underdogs. They hardly ever won. Because, I mean, that, you know, you're playing a 10-year-old Codex.
It's what happens.
But it was just like, I loved them. I was proud of them. Then the new Codex came out. The new models came out. I'm in love with both of them. And I've just... you know, I just don't have the drive the way I do to paint up Wood Elves and paint up Tyranids right now.
Well, it's the same thing everyone kept saying to me, because you and I have been probably the biggest proponents for Dark Eldar in the last 10 years that we've met. You know, like, it just, that's, you know, we always were trying to sell people on Dark Eldar when we were working at the store, and even after, when we weren't working at the store, if we happened to be in the store and somebody said something about Dark Eldar, we're just like, yes, you listen, you come over here. We will tell you about Dark Eldar. We're going to give you the inside tips on why Dark Eldar, the greatest fucking army in Warhammer 40,000. But it's just, it, you know, you get to that point where the new army comes out and you're just like, yes, I love it, this is great, this is where I want to go, but I'm just not that guy anymore. You know, like, I paint these armies, I want to play them the way I want to play them.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to being comfortable with them, and it comes down to being motivated for it and being excited for it, you know. And I think that that's kind of what's cool about kind of getting to that point in your gaming life of just being very comfortable with what you have and just kind of slowly working on the fun stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you don't have 6 40K armies in the wings like some people where you're just like, I'm going to start everything.
Well, yeah, you know, like, that's the thing is, like, I always love the conversation because when people ask me what armies I play, I mean, fuck, even in the first episode when we were talking about, like, what armies we do, I mean, sure, I've got, like, pieces of 4 or 5 different armies in my closet, but I really only listed the armies that I have complete because, as far as I'm concerned, if it's not done, I don't play it.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, there are other people where it's just like, oh, what armies do you play? It's like, oh, I have every 40K army. Oh, really? You know, what armies are painted? Oh, I only have my guard right now.
Yeah.
It's like, then you only play guard.
You only play guard.
You know, just because you have impulse control issues and you bought everything doesn't mean you play all of them.
This is very true. You know, and I kind of think in that same vein, you know, part of having those armies and kind of looking toward the future is kind of getting excited about what is to come, because even as we know that Orc and Goblins are coming out. I'm really looking forward to that. I really kind of want to look at now, what am I going to do to retool my current list? But even more than that, Grey Knights and Necrons are the two that I'm just like, give me something new. Like, give me the goods. Because I don't want to change my Necron models because it's novelty.
Saturday Night Fever.
And I don't want to have to play anything other than those four models. And even when the new book comes out, I will probably refuse to play anything other than those four models in my list.
I have warriors, I have destroyers, I have a lord, and what's your...
Immortals, man.
Oh, immortal, right.
The big fucking, like, super Terminators.
No, dude, they're like linebackers they're with enormous. The big football shoulder pads.
I love it. I just don't get... I fucking love that army. They just look so dirty. But I've got like 1,700 points of just those four models, and it's just like that's what I love about it. I can't get enough of it. But I'm looking forward to that new codex because I'm just like, how am I going to make these four models work for me now? Oh well.
You should like convert shit to look older. I've converted the new 5th edition models to look like they're from 2nd edition. Go!
Oh, no. I don't think I could go that far. Like I said, the only exception I would ever make would be a Tomb Spider. I think that would be the only exception, because I really do like that model.
It is pretty tight.
It just needs to be cheaper.
Point-wise or dollar-wise?
Dollar-wise. Because I put together a list with like 9 Tomb Spiders, and I was like, just going to fucking crush everything out there, 9 monstrous creatures. And then I'm just like, that's going to cost me way too much money. Oh my God, that army's going to be expensive. But, you know, but that's the fun of it, you know, like that really is the fun of the game. And that's why, you know, we keep playing even into these jaded years is, you know, we don't like Games Workshop. Trust me, you're talking to two people who do not like Games Workshop. But the game, we're entrenched in the game. We love the game, and it has nothing to do with Games Workshop.
It's true. The company does feel like it's run by like 2 drunken monkeys.
Oh, drunken half-retarded monkeys.
Flinging poo. Jeez. Back and forth. No, for real. But I mean, that is one of the things is despite all of that, the game itself is fantastic.
Yeah, it is fantastic. And I think that there's a fine line that we need to draw between loving the game, loving the designers, and loving the people who make it what we love, you know, like Jess Goodwin and all these guys who are getting out there and really doing a great job, and hating the idiotic corporate heads of this fucking company that just keep making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision.
And Jess Goodwin, if you're listening, call me.
Call us. You can be on the pod. Nobody's listening. He's not listening. Jesus.
Of course, like, he's not listening. There my are mom two doesn't people. Even there listen, are two to this people listen to this
podcast. Oh my God.
If I can't get my mother to listen, who's supposed to love me unconditionally, what chance is there of, you know, like Jess Goodwin?
Why would you want your mother to listen to this podcast?
So that way she could not understand a fucking word I'm saying.
Oh, that would be kind of funny. But I guess the way this podcast started, my mom would be very disappointed. So, I mean, honestly, we're sitting down without any sort of real topic here, and we didn't get any mail. Unfortunately, so we don't have any mail to answer here. Not that we have a call for mail on a regular basis, but you know, I'll just throw it out there right now. If you guys want anything that you would like us to talk about or any questions that you would like us to answer in our awesome godliness up here on our pedestals and our podcast, send us an email to jadedgamercast@gmail.com and we will answer it on the show. I don't think we've had a single email that we haven't actually talked about on the show. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and bring this up. This was something that somebody had emailed in, and they wanted to know what our opinions were regarding, you know, kind of global rankings. There's that Rankings HQ website that does have some sort of ranking system in place, and we have seen rankings before here in Country Stan with regards to tournaments and stuff like that, but it was an incredibly flawed system, and it really had the wrong people on the top of the pile. In our opinions, obviously. So Nathan, what's your opinion of this? Like, how do you feel about this idea of, like, Team UK and Team Australia and Team Canon?
ETC, you're the number one. Suck my balls.
The ETC, the ETC fucked up again. They went back on all the good changes they made. They're back to the whole you can't generate more than 2 extra power dice a phase and certain items do fucking this and that. They did kind of fix their bullshit unit rules. Apparently now it's something along the lines of, like, units can be no more than 450 points and no more, at the same time, no more than 30 models.
So ogre armies that want to run a horde, fuck you, we don't like you.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
No, but
no
I,
Death
I mean,
Stars.
I'm not going to talk about the ETC. I'm actually waiting for them to finalize their rules before I pass final judgment.
I don't think it'll ever happen.
They have to finalize their rules pack before this year's event. But no, I mean, in terms of the ranking system, I like it in theory. You know, because in theory, it's nice to have something to look to. And I mean, I remember some of the most fun I ever had was the challenge board.
Yes.
The challenge board from years back, the pyramid challenge board where you could, you know, where you basically were there and you could, you know, play enough games to earn the rights to challenge someone above you and then play them. And if you won, you could move up, and eventually you had to get to the top and defend 5 times to be retired as a champion with your army. And I love that. Some of the most fun I ever had was trying to work your way up to the top, eventually get there and retire.
Do you want some sake?
Fuck no.
I have a lot.
I not as much as when the night started.
Yeah, it's very true.
You know, and so I love the idea of this of a global ranking system, because to be quite honest, I don't go for the veterans gaming nights because it's more like amateur night now. And I know
it is amateur night.
It is no fun for me or anyone I'm gonna play to go there and just systematically make him take his models off the board. You know, because like I don't want to blow my own horn, but when I go and there's a kid that just started and he's throwing down an army of everything that he owns, I'm going to walk all over him. And it's not fun for me. It's not fun for him. And I don't want to spend the entire game teaching him his rules.
Right. I think that that's a good point because, you know, people like us, we were very happy to coach the guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I always said, if you're going to play me, I don't pull punches. You're probably going to lose this game, but I will help you through everything that, you know, like, we'll talk about it. You'll get what you think. I'm not just trying to get the win. You know, like, this is about, you know, getting you in the right direction. And but Veterans Nights at the same time was the same unpainted armies over and over again, or it was the same list over and over again, and it was the same, you know, problem people over and over and over again, and there are people there that you want to punch on a regular basis. And, you know, I get it. I'm not trying to say that all gamers fall into this category. It's just, you know, there wasn't the variety that I wanted, and that's what always pushed me away. And I know that that's not the same for everybody. For me, it was just the fact that after a while, you lost the variety.
Yeah. And so sort of getting back onto that point, because of that, I love the idea of a ranking system, because for me to be able to go online and say, you know what, these are the people that are better than me, I want to play them. I want to get the experience against people that are better than me, because at the end of the day, that is the only way I'm going to get better. You know, because I usually, you know, when I get my ass handed to me, I learn a hell of a lot more than when everything goes right and I just, you know, watch my opponent take off models.
Yeah, unless you're just a lucky elf bitch.
2-0, motherfucker, 2-0.
You know that ain't gonna last.
You're right, because we're gonna play and then I'll be 3-0, and that way, you're right, 2-0 won't last. But so, I mean, I would love to get experience against gamers of my own level and of my own caliber.
Right.
My problem with...
Where does that fantasy world fall apart?
Yeah, where that fantasy world falls apart is that there is literally no way to track it. Because if you actually look at the rankings for Cowtown on Rankings HQ, the top 3 players is, you know, 2 of them are good friends of mine, and basically we trade games. You know, we'll play, it's like, I'll win, then he'll win, or it'll be a draw or whatever for the top 2. And then the 3rd player is the worst Warhammer 40,000 player I have ever met in my life. The absolute worst. Like, this is a guy that can take a leaf blower army and lose. Lose regularly and lose horribly. But he's in 3rd place. Why is he in 3rd place? Because the system is inherently broken. You know, he's basically gaming the system, reporting all the games in his basement. He's doing this. You know, he goes to absolutely every tournament.
There's no real validation.
Even if it's a 4-man tournament, he'll go and he'll be like, well, I got 2nd place here. And so they keep rewarding all these points. And I'm just like, you know, you've got to be kidding, because I'm not even on that list. You know,
well, you don't care. I don't care.
No, I don't care either. You know, and a friend of mine who actually went to the Ardboys finals and finished middle of the pack in the finals in LA, he's like 60th. Yeah. You know, and I'm just like, it clearly doesn't reflect it, because basically you can game the system by reporting your own games or going to these tiny, tiny events and just being like, well, you know, it was a seven-year-old's birthday and I beat all of them. Yeah. And so I am the best seven-year-old.
Well, I think that the draw to it is literally punching seven-year-olds in the face for a lot of people. No. I we're all competitive people, and we play the game because we're competitive, and we want to win, and we want to be the best. I mean, every gamer dreams of, you know, putting on the gold belt and give me the belt. All right,
I want to say this right now. My lifelong dream is to have a Warhammer 40,000 intro in the style of the Korean Star League.
Oh.
See, am I right? Like,
would that not be where it's just like vampire counts, lightning bolts, and it's just like you standing there awkwardly in the background, and then like suddenly fangs grow? Whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
So Google the Korean Star League if you don't know what we're talking about. Because that, listen, I don't care if you play StarCraft or not, those Koreans look tough.
It's true.
It's hilarious. No, so it's so good.
So I mean, like, every
Protoss.
That sound was carriers flying.
That was carriers
into the
flying over and like launching drones. But okay, yeah. We're all competitive people. We want to know where we are. But okay, listen. What needs to happen is this needs to become legitimate, and I mean that in the most serious of terms. When you look at, I'm going to use the UFC as an example. The UFC is a legitimate fight organization. They are sanctioned. They are the people who put all the rules in place. They put championship fights together. They make it. I mean, you can sit there and talk back and forth about who the best fighter in the world is, or, oh, BJ Penn lost, so, but he's still the best in the world if you look at his record, yada, yada, yada. But he's not the champion. But, you know, I'm not going to get into the UFC or anything like that. But that is a legitimate ranking system, mm-hmm. and there's nothing like that in gaming for Warhammer or Warhammer 40,000 because of the fact that you're not getting paid, you're not professional.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who just, they don't have the time. You're married, you got kids, you work out of town, you work, you know, like it doesn't happen that much. Well, you know, the guys who are at the top of the pack, like you said before, you know, it's the guy who doesn't know what he's doing. How old is that kid?
He's our age, unfortunately.
Oh,
sadly.
That's extra sad.
That's super sad. No, but I mean, the other thing is, and it came to me when you were talking about the UFC, is there really is no standardized rule pack.
No.
And I mean, because I mean, I could go beat up
GW on all... tried, and that was the big thing. And that's the other thing that we'll get to after you finish what you were saying there. When GW here in Country Stand tried to do their rankings, it was ultimately super flawed.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, like, the other point, like I said, there's no standardized rule set. So I mean, you know, talk of Ardboys happens everywhere, you know, online, all this. But at the end of the day, there are certain armies that can deal with that size of game at 2,500 points and just fucking wreck face with it. They are so good at those points levels. And certain armies don't scale up that well. Just like
right.
at lower points levels, there are certain armies like Tau, I'm going to say it, are one of the absolute best armies you could play. 1,500 points and below.
Yeah.
Because, you know, their points efficiencies are great. They have those extremes of their basic troops have a really good basic gun at strength 5, AP 5, long range.
Right, unless you're a girl.
No. Hey. She
can literally throw something. She's within throwing distance from me right now.
You know, and you've got rail guns and ow!
Oh god. Damn it.
Sorry.
Wow, she threw a Kleenex box at me after her husband slapped me in the face.
Yeah, she hits me after I slap you, after I defend her honor.
I love you, Terry. She says she didn't mean to hit her. She hit her husband in the head with the Kleenex box. I think that was the pro move right there.
Yeah.
So she has as good ballistic skill as her Tau, does she?
Hey-o!
Oh! Bang! But... Women have poor depth perception. You were saying about rankings.
But as I was saying, there's certain armies where at certain points levels, you know, they're so much better than other armies. So I mean, if I was playing Tau at 1,000 points and reporting every 1,000 point game and winning 1,000 point tournaments, and you were playing Guard winning 3,000 point games, How is that a fair comparison?
I can't even drink anymore because you slapped me while I was going to drink. And so now every time I bring the bottle to my lips, I'm just like eyeing you out of the corner of my face.
Pavlovian reaction. I'm sorry. Just like
that. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Wow.
But
okay, but here's the real problem. It needs to be legitimate, but the person making the decision also has to be legitimate. And I mean, it could just be the guy who comes out of nowhere and just says, listen, you know, I'm going to put a money prize on it. I'm the man. I'm the top of the heap. I don't care who you think you are. I know the game. I know it in and out. Dana White is not the best fighter in the world. The dude knows his fighting. He builds the fight organization to do what it is. Is that what gaming needs to make rankings really good? And I mean, they weight the system. They try to do exactly what they can to mitigate the problems with the system, but it's still not accurate because there's no reason for somebody to be involved in this if they're just a casual gamer who's good at what they do.
Yeah, you know, well, honestly, what I would like to see is I would like to see Games Workshop adopt a Wizards of the Coast model, because when you look at what Wizards of the Coast does with Magic the Gathering, Wizards of the Coast basically runs, stretching your jaw, you're ready for what, you want to get slapped again?
You hit me. For anybody who isn't sure, he did hit me in the face.
Look, I tried to get you when my wife was actually on the show, but she was between us, so you were able to dodge it. But
I threw up a block. I was looking at the screen and watching our levels and like going to drink my sake, and I get a right cross.
No, but I mean, what Wizards of the Coast does with Magic the Gathering is they put up sort of a year-end tournament at the end of every single year, and they say, you know what, the best Magic player this year gets $1 million. You know, and they have prizes and they have rankings like that, and they're literally professional Magic players.
Yes.
Because they are able to go to that tournament and they're able to make enough money that they can, you know, buy all the shit that they need.
Korean
and they can
Star
keep
League,
doing it.
Again, well, let's go back to the Korean Star League. They do the same thing. I mean, they pay out the nose. I mean, they really make it legitimate. And so when you look at the guys who are at the top of the heap for that, you know they're the top of the heap. You're not looking at it going like, well, there's better people out there.
I may play
care.
In my basement every other day, but I could totally take him. Like, there's absolutely no way. He's going to mop the floor with you.
No.
And it's obvious because, you know, this is a guy with sponsorships. He's winning the prize money at big tournaments. And I would like to see something like that turn up. I mean, even if Games Workshop is unwilling to put up the money, I would like to see, you know...
Pipe dream.
Total pipe dream, but I would like to see something turn up where I could literally turn pro as a Warhammer player and quit my job and, you know, paint and practice games and do all of that.
You'd be the Tito Ortiz of Warhammer.
Hey, that's not fair. Look, Lang, I have won a game in the last 4 years.
That's very true. Oh, fuck.
You know, but I mean, like, that is what I would like to see, because I think that would lend an air of legitimacy. At the end of that, if I walked out with, you know, $1 million check, there is nobody that is going to question that I am the best Warhammer player in the world for this year.
Well, and that's the thing, is I think that you make a very good point in the fact that it needs to be either a yearly event or it needs to be something that's ongoing. And I mean, it can be divisional, it can be, you know, it can be on a country level, but there's no legitimacy to the ranking systems. Mm-hmm. And you look at Rankings HQ and they do a good job. And I mean, they're out there making it work and they're supporting the hobby and they're promoting it. And they really are doing a great job. I love the website. I love what they do with it. But I think that it's built on this foundation of, do I care? and that's not meant negatively. It really is just, I don't care. You know?
No, exactly. Good, I said, I'm not even listed as a player Cowtown. And I don't lose sleep over it. I really don't. As I'm just like, you know what? Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, I don't try to game the system. I don't have that kind of time.
Well, it's like the guy who tells you that he's part of the best guild in that server on Warhammer or on World of Warcraft. You're just like, really? I don't care.
See,
that means as little to me as anything else out there.
I love fucking with WoW players is whenever they tell me that and I'm just like, really? What's World of Warcraft?
Yes. You know, that's just Warhammer, right? Too bad Warhammer Online sucked.
Yeah, you know.
We were talking about that earlier tonight, how terrible that. And I was in the beta for that game. That game, it died.
You know what? Like I said, the game had lots and lots of good ideas, but at the end of the day, there was nothing compelling enough for me to sit there and put in the hours grinding, where I'm just like, you know what?
Well, it killed fantasy games for both of us.
I'll never play another
fantasy MMO. I've said it before.
Yeah, you know, but like, because like I said, I had some fun, but it wasn't fun enough. And at the end of the day, I would just be sitting there going, you know, why am I playing a warrior priest instead of painting my Tyranids?
Yes. That's a very good point.
It's just like, I would much rather be painting right now than playing this game. And I mean, if a video game is less fun than painting, and because don't get me wrong, I enjoy painting, but you know, it's not like I look forward to the weekend every night so I can kick back, relax, and you know, bust out my paintbrushes, because there is no better time than rocking the Barry Manilow with the paintbrushes.
That's very true. Barry does. He makes the painting go by.
It's just so silky and smooth.
I agree.
No, no destroyer of worlds.
I think that say no to Manilow. Yeah, there's not a destroyer of worlds that can. Oh, what did he say? God damn it! There's not a destroyer of world. You know, this is only for me right now. I don't even know why I'm going on. Like, anyone in the podcast right now is actually trying to like remember lines from Angel that were great.
Oh, see, I wish you hadn't even said it, because I was going to ask if anyone actually...
Oh, there's not a destroyer of worlds who can argue with Manilow.
That was it.
Oh, Lauren, we'll miss you.
But, you know, but I mean, that's the thing, is like, when the game is less fun than sitting by myself, busting out some old, you know, canceled TV show on my computer.
Yes.
And painting, there's a problem with your game.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that it's a strange crossover, tabletop gamers to people who play MMOs. I mean, because you see a lot of tabletop gamers and they've never touched them. They don't touch it. It has no draw to them whatsoever. And then you get the same thing with people who play MMOs, and there's absolutely no draw in the other direction. They could care less about it, you know? You know, you say the same thing about people who are into collectible card games. You know, I think that everybody's in the game for a certain reason, and if you're in Warhammer 40,000 tabletop gaming for the miniatures and the strategy and the competition, rankings may or may not mean anything to you. If you're in it for, you know, the pure drama of the quote unquote sport, that might mean a lot to you, but you're in the minority. And yeah. I think that that's the big thing, is people who really, really are into the rankings, in my opinion, are probably in the minority, because I mean, since we started the podcast, there's really only maybe two or three people that I've really seen actively on those rankings lists.
Yeah.
Or who even gives a shit about the rankings lists.
Now, are you counting our listeners? Because that would be 100%
of our listeners. That would be 100% of our listeners. That's very true as well.
No, but I mean, I do want to talk about another thing other than the rankings, is I do want to kind of talk about the FAQs, the Games Workshop release.
Yes.
Because I mentioned them last week. And I want to take a moment to talk about them, because I think there's two
Come on, have some sake.
Fuck sake.
Dude, you stop drinking.
Oh, look, if you want, you can pause the
podcast. No, I'm not going to pause it. You're going to drink some sake.
Fuck that. Dude, drinking sake is like drinking nail polish remover. That shit is awful.
You're a 6'4" vagina right now. You know that?
Do you want another slap?
You can slap me in the face and I'll give you some sake and we'll call it even. By which means you should have some sake right now.
Not at
all. Right, everybody at home can sigh at Nathan's collective wussiness.
But what I got out of the FAQ,
because I'm still drinking.
Well, I would drink too if you would pause it and put on some lame ditty like do 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 do.
Did you like the one I put on for your wife's podcast? You don't listen to the podcast, so why am I even asking?
I don't listen to any podcasts. I'm not a racist. You know, it's not that I like dislike other people's podcasts. I just dislike podcasts in general.
I get it. we'll keep going. We're getting close.
But I think there are two interesting things to come out of that. And I'm not going to talk about rulings and shit like that, because that's boring. Right. I said it before with the Dark Eldar, or, you know, with episode two, people have the power of literacy. But what I thought was interesting is by Games Workshop's bringing the Dark Templar, Dark Templars, Jesus Christ, the Dark Angels and the Black Templars. That's what two of those half and half.
You're
mixes
such a lightweight. It's pathetic. I'm almost at the I'm close to the bottom of my bottle of sake. I don't know what's going to happen when I stand up. But you, sir, are stuttering.
The Dark Angels or the Black Templars. What I thought was most interesting about it is by them bringing them up to sort of that 5th Ed Space Marine Codex for gear. And if you can hear my child, that's because we talked earlier, the wife can throw things at us.
She's within throwing distance, as is the child.
Yeah, but as long as she doesn't throw the child, I think we're in good shape.
Well.
But what I think is interesting...
Depends on the scatter dice roll.
Hey!
Warhammer humor.
Oh. But what I think that means to me when I see that, because really Games Workshop has had 3 years to make those rulings and say Dark Angels and Black Templars get the same gear. To me, it says Games Workshop has no plans in updating those armies anytime soon.
Yes.
And that actually makes me happy because for those that have been playing since 5th edition, who else other than me is fucking fed up of every other book being a Marine book? Because when you look at it, we've had, you know, Space Marines come out, then Tyranids. Or not even, no, it wasn't Tyranids. It was Space Marines.
It was Space Wolves, and then right after Space Wolves was...
No, it was Space Wolves, or Space Marines, then Guard, then Space Wolves, then Tyranids, then Blood Angels, then Dark Eldar, then Grey Knights. Like, they've literally just been going, every other book is a fucking Space Marine book, and I am sick and fucking tired of it. Because you know what? There are so many brilliant armies in this game, and Games Workshop is basically saying that unless you're a genetically modified superhuman, go suck my big hairy balls. You know, and yes. I fucking hate it. So I am happy as
the
shit.
The level of neglect for the other books is what really makes it hard.
Well, yeah, because I mean the Eldar army is far more deserving of an update than fucking Fetish Marines.
We can
name
almost every other army outside of Space Marines, where it's just like Eldar, Dark Eldar until recently. Fucking Necrons, Tau, you know, could probably use a new book.
Oh,
Witch Hunters.
Tau are the oldest 4th edition book right now. Finally. Like, only 3rd edition books are older than Tau, and after Grey Knights come out, you have Witch Hunters and Necrons.
But that's what scares me about this announced release for April for the Grey Knights, is they're not saying anything about Demon Hunters.
No, you know what? Hey, it's true. From what I hear, though, is the new Grey Knights, if you read the rumors online, are going to be just another Space Marine book. Yeah, see, you know, because it's just everything has to be Space Marines.
So disappointing.
Out of those FAQs, I'm quite excited to see that Games Workshop has no plans for Dark Angels or Black Templars. Now, they could prove me wrong and keep me pissed off at them. Not that they care what I think.
They don't care what anybody thinks.
It is true. So I mean, I am very hopeful that the deluge of Marine armies will come to a fucking end, because it's about damn time. The other thing that interests me about it is what I would like, because I've noticed it, is since those FAQs came out, there have been boosts in sales to both the Dark Angels and the Black Templars. In fact, Terminators in all of Cowtown have been sold out for 2 weeks straight now.
Terminators are good.
Well, Terminators are good, but now that I can run a competitive Deathwing running Storm Shield Terminators with the 3-up invulns, and
yes,
I can do
sir.
This. So, I mean, there is actually an influx of sales onto these old books, because really, Black Templars and Tau are the two oldest.
Yeah.
You know, Black Templars are getting sales, Dark Angels are getting sales. So what I'm hoping the Games Workshop sees is they say, you know what? We actually release an FAQ that does something for a change. We saw a spike in sales. Maybe they'll connect the dots and we'll start getting good FAQs for other armies. Because, you know, I'd like to see them FAQ the Tyranids to not screw screw the pooch the way they did. I'd like Pyrovores to not suck. Because right now, Pyrovores are probably the single worst unit in all of 40K, and that includes Vespids, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you counting by points cost or hilarity?
Everything. And the worst part of that is when the Pyrovore model came out, when I saw the sneak peek, sorry for hitting the table if you just heard the thing, I don't give a shit.
Serious? At this point, you're apologizing for knocking the table. You didn't apologize for knocking my face.
That's because you had it coming.
I did have it coming, yes.
You know, the when I saw the model, I was just like, hot damn, I want that. I'm going to put a unit of them in. They're fantastic. I saw them. I saw Hive Guard. I got super, super excited. I loved it. Then I read the Codex and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like it's just you know, the unit is fucking terrible. And I'm going to say it. I bet Games Workshop has sold less Pyrovores than they have sold Witch Hunter, Sister of Battle Box was in the same year period. Because you know what? The Pyrovore is that fucking bad.
I drive an organ that shoots missiles. But anyways.
Are you kidding me? It's a heavy flamer.
I was just making fun of Sisters of Battle.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You know, so I mean, I... I think it's interesting. Like I said, I look at it, and hopefully the deluge of Marines have stopped, and hopefully Games Workshop will start treating FAQs as a legitimate way to balance their game more than saying, wait 6 years for us to redo your codex. Right. Because you know what?
Right.
They make mistakes, especially you, Robin Crudace, even though you're not listening. Especially you.
Especially you.
You know?
Well, I think that, you know, like with what you're saying, it really does come down to people to really read their FAQs and know what they're talking about and know what they're doing. You know, bring out the printed copies of your FAQs to tournaments. And I think that I'd like to see a lot more tournament organizers making that a requirement along with bringing your rule books.
Yeah.
Because I think that it is as important for everybody to have read their FAQs as much as reading their rule books. And I mean, I hear people bitch all the time about how there's too many FAQs to read through. There's too much stuff to know. There's too much this. There's too much that.
But you should just know your army. You're not required.
You don't have to know anybody else's army. You need to know the core rulebook FAQ, and you need to know your own army's FAQ. And when you run into a situation where you're up against another army and they tell you something that you're not sure is according to the FAQ or not, that accounts to the same thing as not knowing other people's army books. If you go into a tournament and you've never read Skaven book and you go up and you play against a Skaven army, you're just taking his word for it anyways.
Yeah.
So know your own army, play with your own integrity, and just take the time to read it. I don't want to hear anybody bitch about there's just too many to count or there's too much going on. They don't come out that often, trust me.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, with the exception of when 8th edition came out and they kind of FAQ'd everything to make it a little more 8th compliant, which I really appreciate because, I mean, fuck, my Tyranid Codex came out in January and my FAQ came out in August, so to have the rulebook for Fantasy come out in July with all of the FAQs, you're all lucky because your core rulebook came out.
Yeah.
And your FAQs before mine did.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, like I said, you don't need to read them all. And if you are one of those neurotic gamers that wants to memorize every codex and memorize FAQs, well, that's up to you.
Yeah, but that's your own damn fault.
Yeah, that's your own issues that you need to work through. There, you get some professional help, do something like that. But it's not an expectation for me to be completely knowledgeable about everybody's army.
Right.
I just need to be an expert in my own.
Okay, so we're kind of getting to the end of our show here, and what I was thinking that we might be able to do is a question that I had heard recently that I thought was kind of interesting, is just, again, kind of one of those speculatory type questions. So, Nathan, what would you like to see as a new army if you think that Games Workshop can even support a new army in this current system that they have right now, which is basically everybody is waiting, clamoring for updates to their books or new army books to fit with the new edition. Mm-hmm. And we know for a fact that probably before we hit 9th edition, there's still going to be people who haven't had updates for 8th edition yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, do you feel like you'd like to see a new army, or do you just feel like Games Workshop can't do it?
I would like to see a new army because I think that the game system itself, the universe, the player base, they can all support them. But I think before that happens, Games Workshop needs to change their model. And so I would like to see them have basically a living rule book. I'd like to see rules coming out regularly, kind of nonstop. I would be happy with a rules update without models because at the same time, they're doing model releases without rules. So, I mean, yes. I'd like to see sort of this waving thing. And if that were to happen, I think other than the obvious Chaos Dwarves, I would love to see a Nippon army, personally, because I think there really isn't any army in all of Fantasy that really captures that sort of Eastern aesthetic that I think would be a whole ton of fun to paint.
Yeah, I think Cathay would be the one that I would really like to see, would be Cathay. And I think for Warhammer 40,000, you know, I think that just maybe changing some of the dynamics of some of the current armies, again, to bring Necron kind of back into the fold, I really wouldn't mind seeing Necron to kind of take a theme shift and have them just be a little bit darker and a little bit more raw, kind of as opposed to the polished version that they are right now, where they're just very, very simply in a futuristic undead army.
Yeah.
You know, but I think especially in Warhammer 40,000, there's much, much more that you can do with regards to kind of coming up with new armies and new alien races and things of that nature. That you could have a lot of fun with. I just think that, you know, it's we are kind of hitting this point where Are there any new armies on the horizon? No. I think it's clear that Games Workshop is having a hard time handling the armies that they have right now. So I don't, you know, I don't think we're going to see a new army anything anytime soon.
Well, and I mean, like, at the end of the day, you have to look at it. And there's what, 13, 14 different armies in all of Warhammer 40,000.
Right.
And they released three, over 2010.
Yes.
So when you look at that and you say, okay, there are 14 different armies, and if we release three a year, you're basically looking at 5-year turnaround to redo every last army book. And that's why, like I said, I would like to see things, even if it's as simple as an FAQ, to bring the rules a little more consistent, tighten them up a little bit, change a little, you know, things here and there, tweak point costs, tweak weapon profiles. If they were to be constantly doing that and develop that living rulebook, they could more than easily handle a new race. They could more than easily handle a lot of that because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's the biggest problem with the games right now, is when you have things where it's just like, hey, you know what, there are problems with the Tyranid FAQ, not even the rulebook.
Right.
And I know that I'm waiting 5 or 6 years for a new rules revision. You know, a brand new codex before any of those will be addressed, when it's as simple as, you know, change the rulings here and there and expand a little bit in other places. So I'm just like, you know what? With their current business model, I'd say no, they can't support it. I mean, the fact that they even dared release 5th edition with four third edition armies not updated yet.
Well, that was...
You have to shake your head at that and say, what the fuck? Actually, it was more than that, because Space Wolves and Blood Angels, it was 6. So, I mean...
That was my big problem with kind of the aim that they have for now, is all about selling starter kits. You know, they make the most money when the new version of the game comes out and everybody picks up the starter kits, you know, and the starter kits have good models and they're cheap and you can build armies off of them. And I mean, like, hey, I get it. I get that this is the moneymaker, but, you know, you're tearing the hobby down by making the game all about, well, we'll release 3 new army books, 3 new codexes for already existing armies, where we don't really change all that much. We add a couple of extra models. But the big thing is, boy, you can be guaranteed that every 3 years at this point, we got a new edition of the game coming out.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, I mean, I kind of get it, because I mean, 3rd edition and 6th edition, respectively, for Fantasy and 40K lasted a good number of years, 5, 6.
Yeah.
Then they released the Why Bother 4th and 7th edition
versions
of the game, where they really didn't do anything. So I don't mind.
It was an FAQ with a box,
basically. it was an $80 FAQ. Fuck you. And so, I mean, with 5th and 8th edition, I would like to see these editions get long legs, you know. 5th edition 40K, 3 years in, is still the best 40K I've ever played. You know, it's the best editions for as long as I've played. 8th edition Fantasy so far is the same thing, where it's just like, you know what, I absolutely love all these core rule sets, and I really hope the Games Workshop looks at them and says, you know what, we're going to stay here. We're going to stay in these editions for a bit longer. We see no need to change.
Well, you're the juggernaut. Why? You know, like, there's a lot of other games out there and a lot of other game systems and models and things of that nature. But I mean, like, Games Workshop is still they're at the top of the pile.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's, you know, do it right. Do it right. Yeah, I'd like to see them with longer legs, too. I think that that's a really important thing to really making people feel comfortable about the edition. And, you know, like, we've had a lot of FAQs come out for both gaming systems since they've been released.
Yeah.
A lot of FAQs come out, but it's like, the time you're spending on these FAQs, you know, put that into these books, like, you know, get them together. I mean, when you're able to put together, you know, 9 pages worth of FAQs for the Tyranids, it's like, that's a codex, man. Like, get the codex, you know, like, revamp them, do them right, change it up, make it happen, you know. And but yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Cathay. Do I think they can support it? No, I think that would just be, you know,
it's
more problems for the pile, and we would be bitching about Cathay 2 years down the road.
Yeah. No, like I said, would I like to see it? Of course. I mean, who wouldn't want to see a new army with new rules, new fluff, new models, new everything? But do I think they can support it? Not without a dramatic shift in the way they do business. You know, and that's really what it comes down to. Is, I mean, if they stick with this model, I would hate a new army to come out. Actually, I would almost resent it. Because, I mean, like I said, I
for some reason, I seem to pick the armies that just kind of get fucking ignored. You know, like I picked Dark Eldar, and then, you know, had to wait 9 years to get a right. to get a update, and I picked right. Wood Elves, and God, there isn't even rumors about Wood Elves. Like they are so low on Games Workshop's list of priorities. I mean, since I've started playing Wood Elves, this is the second Orc and Goblin book that's come out.
That's very true.
You know, so that's why I'm just like, you know, for some reason, the armies that appeal to me are the ones that don't appeal to Games Workshop.
Well, I just, and like you say, I think it's just that shift in they do business, and it goes back to that whole idea of every other book being a Marine book, or, you know, every other update being Orc and Goblins or Empire, a new release of the same Empire book over and over again. Mm-hmm. But okay, I guess that's pretty much just, I think it's an interesting thing that everyone can kind of think of is, you know, would you be happy with a new army, or would you really feel that that new army is just one more problem we're going to have to deal with and outside of the novelty?
If you would be happy with a new army, when we post this up on Facebook, I personally would love to see what everyone thinks should be added for whichever game system you think. So, I mean, if you say, hey, you know what, I think Fantasy could support a new army, but I don't think 40K can, let us know why you think that, and also let us know what the army you think is, because I'll be honest, I am very bored and very on Facebook during the week.
I'm not reading novels. We don't want Codex Panfo again.
Yes.
That is Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
And I am Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.